Lord, we just come before you today. And Lord, we need you more than anything else on this planet, God. More than our spouses, more than our children, more than our jobs, more than our houses, more than anything else, God, we need you. So, Lord, today we ask you to be, Lord, among us. Touch us. Change us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So I don't know about you, but I named this message Hungry, but I really want to sort of just change the name of it to Chicken Wings, Chocolate, or Jesus. I think like when you come to church on a Sunday morning, you sort of don't think you're coming here for some good food and some good message, right? Are they nice and hot? Yep. Good. All right. So, but I know this one thing. That most of you ate breakfast. Everybody had breakfast this morning. Anybody very hungry? Yep. Oh, man, I'm smelling these wings. They're so good. Anyway, most of us had breakfast this morning. Most of us came in full. We're thinking of, you know, lunch in a couple hours. But this morning, what I want to do is I want to prove to you that even though you might not have come in hungry, that I could probably have you hungry in about, I don't know, 30 seconds, fast as I could walk through the room. For the ladies this morning, I don't know, they tell me ladies love chocolate. Is it true? So these are like Ferrero collection. I had one, it was good. Really, really good. They're, I'm just going to try and see what they're called. Yeah, I don't know, but there's different flavors here, and I think, I don't know about, I like chocolate, but chocolate's not my big deal. But I know ladies really, really love chocolate. They say they love it more than just about anything. True? So, does anybody want some? Really? Well, come on up and get some. Tom, could you go get me a few little plates out of the other room? Just one. Just one. Easy does it. Okay, so that's it? No one else wants any? Really? Okay, it'll do. I don't care, Frank. Step up, man. I had one. Oh, Kathy needs one? All right. Anybody else? No? Don't be a chicken. Okay, who didn't get one? She would like one? No? Would you like one? Really? Oh, wow. I'm surprised. So here we go. See if you could smell this, right? Does anybody like chicken wings? I love chicken wings. My favorite thing. I think, like, chicken wings are... Anyway, we're just going to leave them here for now. I don't know about you, but I can think about food and get hungry. I don't know. Like, some meals I just love. I love turkey, right? So when I walk into the house and I smell a turkey cooking... I'm like, let's eat now, right? I just love it. I love it because I could see it in my head. I could see that nice dark brown bird in the oven with stuffing coming out the back of it and all the juices around it. I just think it's like one of the most amazing meals. It's beautiful, right? Christmas, stuffing, turkey. I don't know. What about steak? Does anybody like steak? I try and make steak at home, but it never tastes any good. But if I go to the Keg, and I get a nice steak, sort of rare, medium, that way, just a bit red inside, and you cut it open, and all that juice is flowing out on your plate, and just beautiful. I might have wrecked everybody's appetite now, but I love it. I love it. When I think, I could be sitting in a restaurant, and, you know, like, I don't always think about food, believe it or not, you know. I don't always think about it, but when somebody walks by with a plate full of chicken wings, I'm just like, let's eat. Let's eat now. Right? I want it. So does any guys, I'm going to let the guys run at this first, but does any guys want some chicken wings this morning? Anybody? No? Come on up. Just take one. These are good. I got these at Rose City in Welland. It's my favorite chicken wings. These are medium. I was going to get, because my favorite is suicide. I love them hot. Hotter the better. I remember one time I went to this restaurant, and I was making fun of, I worked in this restaurant, I worked in an insurance office in Toronto, and there was a Chinese restaurant downstairs. And I made fun of him all the time and said his hot food was like for babies. It wasn't really that hot. So when my last night going there, he wanted to prove to me he could make hot food. So he made me these chicken wings that were so hot that I was getting red welts on my face because they were so hot. So I was like eating them and going, oh, I don't know if I like them this hot. Next day was really bad. Bad day. But I love there's still some here. They're going to get cold. Anybody? Frank? Okay. All right. I don't know about you, but I know that you could come somewhere and not really be hungry. But when people start talking about food, you ever been in that place where people just start talking about a good meal they had or started enjoying a good meal, talking about you could be sitting across the table from someone and really didn't feel like eating, but then they start eating and you get hungry? Well, I think that's really normal. But I think, like, I didn't bring this morning chocolates and chicken wings to church just so that you guys could have a good meal. What I wanted to kind of show you was that even if you're not hungry, if you get around something and you start thinking about it and dreaming about it and start to smell it and taste it, that you get a hunger. And you might have come to church this morning, and you might just be going through your routine. You might just be coming here because it's Sunday morning, and that's what we do on Sunday morning as a family. We get up, we go to church, we do the church thing, we go over to Bob's after church, or we do whatever, and then we call it a day. But this is what I truly, truly believe, that hunger makes a difference. What I want to try and do today is I want to try and challenge you today to stir up a hunger for God. I want to try and challenge you today. I think so many times we go through our Christian life and we do it by thinking. We do it by reason. We do it by habit, which is all really, really good. I think it's really important to be disciplined. I think it's really important to have your time every day where you read the Bible, where you pray, and where it's a discipline. But I also think it's really, really important to have an encounter with God. I could think of many. I could think of many encounters with God. I was thinking even just last night I was in here praying. Go ahead, Joel. Take a couple because there's no point in them going cold. Go ahead. He's got drumsticks. But like, whenever I think about my encounters with God, it just really, really moves my heart. I think sometimes, and I've seen this so many times, that people have an encounter with God, and they accept that as a one-time deal. They accept it as out of the ordinary. They accept it as part of just maybe a conference, maybe a youth camp, maybe something like that. But when God really wants to meet with you on a regular basis, God wants to be with you, I really believe, every day. I really believe that there's so much, though, in our life that we have that's just opposing that and really making us step back from it. In the same way that we... Oh, well. Good. Didn't kick glass over. In the same way that we experience physical hunger and we want to eat, we do experience spiritual hunger and we need to eat. We experience spiritual thirst and we need to satisfy that thirst. The truth is, though, with physical hunger, it's something we feel right away. When our body gets hungry, every weapon that our body has to let us know it's hungry will be used, right? Like, I know Christine, if she's hungry, she starts to feel faint. When I'm hungry, I just start to feel hungry. And, you know, I'm like, everybody, you know, like, you'll get, some people will get sore stomach, some people will get miserable. Some people will get faint. Some people will, you know, whatever. But with spiritual hunger and spiritual thirst, a lot of times we can let the symptoms go unnoticed. We can walk past the symptoms of those things without ever really fulfilling them. This is what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 from the Modern King James Version. It says, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." In the Message Bible, it says this, "You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat." There's an idea of working up an appetite. There's an idea that you really need to focus and you really need to work at it. You need to stir up that hunger in you. It's easy to work up a good appetite for the kind of food you love, right? But how many of us ever really think about working up an appetite for the things of God? How many of us really think about how we approach our relationship with God and our connection with God and our times together with Him as His bride with expectancy and with passion? How do we do that? Do we actually think about it? The word hunger actually means to pine for, to be famished, to crave, to be hungry. It gives the idea of not just thinking I would like to eat. Instead, it gives the idea that if I don't eat, soon I won't be able to stand it. So those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled, right? Not just I wouldn't mind to have a little snack right now. I could probably use one. But it's that idea that there's a longing for, a pining for, a desire for that needs to be filled. And when that happens, God comes to fill it. I remember in just a practical way, when Dad died, I was in Mexico, and I was coming back, and I've told the story many times about how lonely I felt when I was coming back, but Christine was coming with my friend Paul to the airport to come and get me, and it had been a long day. Like, it was New Year's Eve day, and it was like fighting through the airports, and every time I got to the airport, my connection wasn't there, and I had to try and fight for another connection, fight for another. And I finally, I'm flying, I think, from Chicago to Buffalo. And I'm just like, I know we're getting in the area. And I'm starting to think about Christine. And I was starting to think about how nice it would be to hug somebody that really loves me and that I could really connect to. And as the time went on, it was just like more and more. I was just like about physically feeling like I just needed that so badly. And I remember when I came out of the gates and into the baggage area, and she was coming down the escalator, and I saw her. It was like one of those romance commercials where you run toward each other, and just to hold her in my arms. Physically, I was craving just to hold her, to be with her. How many times do we approach the presence of God in that way? How many times do we actually come church on a Sunday morning when we're gathering together as the bride of Jesus and just say, God, I need you more than anything today. I need you. And I know we have God with us, but God wants to connect with us. He wants to be with us. In Strong's Concordance, it actually explains that to be hungry is to need in order to sustain you or give you strength to go on. And to thirst means to need in order to be refreshed. I think it's really important for us to understand why he uses the words hunger and thirst here. Because he could use a lot of different words, but hunger and thirst and to need to have that that big desire. I think that we need to understand it because whenever we eat, and whenever we drink, we need to eat and drink again. It's not a one-time and it's done deal. Whenever we are hungry, we're going to be hungry again. Whenever we're thirsty, we're going to be thirsty again. We need to understand, I think, that far too many of us are weakened in our Christian life because we lack spiritual food. And many of us are walking around worn out and weary because of our lack of refreshing spiritual drink. And we wonder why. And we don't sometimes connect, but we need to be filled. We need to not be refused in being filled. I think God loves it when we won't be refused. I think there's so many stories in the Bible when someone got desperate enough to just say, God, I'm holding on until you do this, and he does it because he wants for us to not want to be refused. When was the last time that we really went after God with a heart that would not be refused? When was the last time? When was the last time that you really said, God, I need to be filled with your Spirit again, fresh and new? Like, we could go to church and we could sing the songs and we could say the words. Some of these songs this morning were so powerful, but unless it comes from our heart and a real cry out to God, it really is just words. The reason, again, for using hunger and thirst is because we need to be filled. We need to be refilled. I love what Pastor Peter was saying the other Sunday. He said that we need to continue being filled. It's true. We're hungry and thirsty, and we need to continue. I had a drink of water this morning when I got up. I don't know about you. I like having a drink when I first wake up. And then after that, I ate some breakfast. And after that, I had another drink of water. And then I went and got ready for church. And I came to church. And before the service here, I took another drink. And as soon as the service is over, I'm going to have another drink again. And I'm going to go out for lunch. I'm going to keep being filled. There's going to keep being a hunger and thirst for God. But so many of us as Christians are living on yesterday's encounter with God. We're living on last Sunday's message. We're living on 10 years ago, the fact that maybe 10 years ago we were filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke in other tongues, and it was a one-time deal for us, and we've never gone back and revisited that. But it doesn't need to be that way. It shouldn't be that way. It's not right for it to be that way. God wants you to be filled, but you have to be hungry and thirsty. My son said this to me after camp last year. We were talking about what he learned at camp. And what he said to me was, Dad, what I realized is that God only has an obligation to fill hungry hearts. I think you need to think about that. That God's obligation is to fill a hungry heart. If you are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, if you work up an appetite for God, you'll be filled. So there's so many things that could affect us. God's responsibility is to fill, but it's our responsibility to come hungry and thirsty. So what affects our hunger and thirst? What is it that drives that, or what is it that makes us ignore it? I think one of the things is to be hungry for God. You can't always be filled with other things. You know, I think in our culture, if there's one thing in our culture, and it's kind of good, but it's kind of bad, because in our culture, we are just so busy. We are so busy. We're busy with things that are good, right? I mean, we like sports and playing sports as family, right? Our kids have played sports throughout the years, but it takes a lot of time. We like entertainment. We like to watch a good movie together. We like to go visit a good show or do different things, but it takes a lot of time. We run all the time. I don't know about you guys, but life is running from here to there to there. In our mornings right now, you know, Christine's working full time again, and I get up, I drive Logan to school in Fawn Hill, I come back home, I pick up Levi, drive him to school in Dunville, then I go to church, and you know, I got to go from there, go home, come back to church, run out again, do this. I'm running day and night. We burn $800 worth of fuel a month in our family. We're running. And I don't think it's good for our spiritual walk all the time to be that busy. I think one of the things in our world is that our hunger for God goes unrecognized because we're just filling it with everything else. We're just so busy with everything. And having things is good. I mean, it's good to play sports. It's good to have time together as a family. It's good, but we need to have time, too, for God. How many of you, you know, like you're trying to have your prayer time or time with God, and during that time, the phone rings, you feel like, I got to answer the phone. Or the, you know, somebody knocks on the door, you feel like, well, I got to go to the door. But if you were having a conversation with your wife or with your kids, and you were spending time with them, or if you were at a ball game and the kids were playing and you were watching them play or whatever, and your phone rang, you wouldn't necessarily answer the phone. But so many times when we pray, all these things are pulling and pushing on us, and we need to be able to push them away. Our hunger for God is filled by many things, and I'm guessing there's times that all of us feel frazzled by the busyness of life. And we need to take a stop. That's why we do the conference every spring. That's why we do a youth camp every fall. That's why I like to do more kind of conferences, because once in a while that'll just make us stop and just spend some time with God and let Him speak over a prolonged period of time. I think that sometimes we need to let life slow down and to a large degree just spend time on our relationship with God. There was a time when Sunday was a quiet day, right? It was called the Sabbath. Sabbath day to think on your past week, to reflect on what you've done, to just relax, to sort of set yourself for the week coming ahead, to be ready to face whatever's coming in the week, and just to unwind. You know, like I remember as kids, my parents would lay on the couch, and we'd be four kids all stacked up on top of them, because that's what we did Sunday afternoon. We had to have a nap, you know? But like, I'm guessing that today, yeah, it's a hard picture to think about right now. Poor mom with three big guys all on top. But like, I'm guessing that today, most people are leaving the service here. They're going to go up for lunch, and they've got a lot of things they got to do today, because life's going to be busy still today, because there isn't enough time in the 6 days, and the seventh day we're still running, trying to catch up. The shopping malls are still busy. The grocery stores are still busy. You know, we're still trying to get done all the things that we were so busy during the week we couldn't do. But I think, like, it would be good to slow down. It would be good to just allow God to speak to us. Another thing that hurts our hunger level is that we look to so many other things to satisfy the longings of our heart that only God can fill. I think we think that relationships can fill the spot in our heart for God. And really, relationships are great. It's what I've really given my life to, is relationship with God and relationship with others. But if we don't have time for our relationship with God, if all our deal is about a relationship with other people, we're going to fall short. If Christine becomes everything to me, and I don't have room for God anymore, if I look to her to fulfill the spot that only God can fill, it's going to hurt. It's going to cause my hunger for God to diminish, and we need to keep it growing. Some people think a career is going to do it. It's going to fill that spot that only God can fill. Some people think that trips and holidays are what's going to do it. I remember it was 3 years ago. It was one of the toughest years as far as I was concerned that I'd ever had. I was going on holidays, going up to Manitoulin Island, and I was thinking before I left, all I need is a holiday. That's all I really need. I just need to get away. I need to put my feet up. I need to go sit by the lake and read for a couple days and just relax, and everything's going to be okay. So we're there for 10 days, and as the week's going by, I'm still feeling worn out. I'm still feeling frazzled. I'm still feeling like at the end of my rope. And I was praying one morning, and I was saying, God, I don't get it. This is usually enough to help me. I needed a holiday, and I'm on a holiday, and I'm not feeling better. And God so clearly spoke to me that holiday, I put that holiday in the place of God in my life, that if I could just have a holiday, I could feel better. I could be filled. I could be okay again. And really, what I needed and what I did and looked after that day was I got an encounter with God. I sought God that day, and God refreshed me, and God filled me. And the rest of that time up there was just a great time of just feeling good. So many times we look to other things to fill us, but God wants to fill us. So many things in our life we use to satiate the hunger that we really need to have for God. What we really need to do is we need to empty ourselves and push the things away, good or bad, and ask God to fill us. Here's a great story from the Bible. We read this a couple weeks ago at Bible study. I just thought it was a great story for explaining that we need to be empty. And it's found in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. It says, "And a certain woman of the wives and sons of the prophet cried to Elisha, saying, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared Jehovah, and the lender has come to take my two children to himself for slaves.' And Elisha said, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?' And she said, 'Your handmaid has not a thing in the house except for a pot of oil.'" I think this is a really cool realization from this scripture, that you might not have anything else. You might have run the tank dry. You might have been just so busy and so going on with life. But every one of us, when everything else is gone, we can all have the oil. We could all have the Holy Spirit still there. And he said, "Go borrow vessels for yourself from outside, from your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not let them be few. And you shall go in and shut the door on you and your sons, and you shall pour out into all those vessels, and you shall set aside the full ones." And she went from him and shut the door on her and on her sons, and they brought to her, and she poured out. And it happened that when all the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There's not a vessel left." And then the oil stopped. What says the end? The oil stopped. The important thing, I think, to realize from the story is the qualifications for being filled is to be empty. There has to be room in our life for God. We have to have a place for God to work. So are you empty today? Maybe you think you're full. But are you empty? Are you empty today? Will you let the oil of the Holy Spirit fill you during this time, so that you once again can be refreshed by the presence of God? We all need it. We all need it. The second thing is that when all the emptiness was filled, the oil stopped flowing. Whenever there's not a place in your life anymore for God to pour in, the oil will stop. The presence of God won't flow. Whenever you're full, there's no more room. God's not pouring. The oil stops. So we need to keep ourselves in a place where we can keep receiving from God. As long as there's a place in your life for intimacy with God, and there's a place for Him to flow, the Spirit won't stop. But as soon as we get so full of other things, we won't have room for Him. So will you make room for Him today? The second thing, I think, is you can make yourself hungry for the presence of God. I think you could work up an appetite. I think it's a good thing to work up an appetite. Just as when I came in this morning, you probably weren't thinking about food and chocolates. But some of you got pretty hungry for chicken wings and for chocolates as the time went on, right? It's pretty good. The white one's good. Anybody had them? Coconut. Good. It is good. Well, I think that as you watch others eat, as you saw food go by, a lot of people were thinking, yeah, that would actually be pretty nice. A lot of you didn't, I'm surprised. But same with our spiritual hunger and our spiritual thirst. Have you ever sat with someone as they were telling about an encounter they had with God, and you just were sitting there and you were thinking, you know what? I really enjoy that again. I really enjoy. I was talking to someone, and they were telling me about what God was doing in their life this week, and I was just thinking, boy, I need to get with God. Because just when you start thinking about being in the presence of God in an encounter kind of a situation, it's just like so empowering and soul filling. Have you ever felt sort of like disjointed? Like you were like, just out of sorts and you couldn't figure out why you were out of sorts? You ever just feel kind of miserable and you just couldn't put your finger on it and you were just like, I don't know, something's wrong, but I don't know what's wrong. Everything seems to be all right, but I just feel wrong. Anybody ever feel that way? I think a lot of times that's a spiritual hunger. It's your spirit starting to cry out for an encounter, for time with God, for a relationship with God. And we need to recognize that, and we need to go for that. We can not in our flesh, when we get hungry, we have to fill it. We have to go for food. We have to, because we, I don't know if anybody's ever fasted. I fasted for a week a couple times, and both times it was like, it was horrible. It was like, seriously, I don't know if you've ever done it, but if you've done it, your body does all kinds of nasty things to you. And like, I think by the fourth day, my mouth was all white inside, and it was really, you ever heard that herd of pygmies camping in your mouth thing? Well, it tasted like that. It was just horrible. It was the worst thing I ever experienced. But my body was just craving food. It was like, I couldn't, you know, I drink in water, and the water tasted disgusting, and everything I touched tasted disgusting, and I was just like, I just want to eat something, a piece of bread, something, you know? And so your body is just craving food. And so many times our spirits are doing the same thing. Our spirit is craving spiritual food, but the voice of our body screams a lot louder than the voice of our spirit. There's such a way in our bodies to let us know we need nourishment and we need it now. Right? I remember that movie, Look Who's Talking, years ago, and there's a little baby, they show you the baby in the womb and it's pulling on the umbilical cord. Send me some food, right? We get like that with our physical body, but with our spiritual hunger, sometimes we just ignore it and we can't put our finger on what it is. But we need to be filled. We need to be. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you, man, I've had some times in my life where I was just so dry and so miserable and so fed up and so weak and so worn out and really no reason for it. The only reason was that I had neglected the time I needed with God. And I'm not just talking about just doing my everyday Bible reading, which is important because I do that. I'm sold on that. I've done that since I was a child. You know, read the Bible, pray every day. Good thing. But to be desperate for God, to be hungry for Him in a way that says, God, I need to have a relationship with You, an encounter with You. I want to know that You're real. I think like we look at Thomas so many times, the Apostle Thomas, and we say, well, he was a loser because he had to have the fingers in the holes and the hand in the side. But I'll tell you what, I'm Thomas. I need to experience God. I need to sense His presence. There's been a lot of times that if it wasn't for sensing the presence of God, I don't know if I'd have lasted. So call me Thomas if you want. But I love experiencing the presence of God. I'm not opposed to allowing my emotions to get the best of me in a relationship with God. I'm not opposed to just to fall into faith and just allow God to touch me in powerful ways. I'm not opposed to that. I don't think anybody should be. I think we should have good doctrine. I think we should think. I don't think we should just fall for anything. I don't think we should be stupid. I think we should really be wise people that serve God and have a heart to learn and grow. But I think that we lose something when we are so smart and we are so opposed to emotion that we don't allow the presence of God to touch us. I think that there's something so powerful in it. I can remember when Brittany and Jen, I think, came to youth camp for the first time. Probably one of your first times really around church, right, Britt? And I remember, I was thinking that weekend, you know, like, because we do five services on the weekend. Five. And it's like pretty intense. Like we do worship, and the guy preaches for an hour, and then we do work. Then we have like some games, and they have no free time. They fall into bed at night. They talk, and then the next day, But it's really intense. And I'm thinking, like, what's a girl that's never really been around church before gonna think about this? But I remember, like, for both of them, they had an encounter with God that weekend that really changed their life, and they've been serving God ever since. And their emotions were touched. And when I was there, my emotions were touched. Paul was probably one of the most brilliant men that ever lived. And when you think about his conversion experience, he's going, doing his thing, real smart guy. I'm going to save the Jewish religion. I'm going to keep it pure. I'm going to go and fight for it. I know what it's all about. He fell on his butt off his horse, and Jesus just wrecked his world. I think about John, the apostle, that when he was with Jesus, he lay his head on his chest and they'd hang out like closest friends. And when he saw him in Revelations, he fell on his face as if dead. If we're really going to live in the power of God, we need to have an encounter with God. And it can't be, I could tell you stories, 17, 16 years ago. Somebody was Facebooked me the other day and reminded me we were at camp. We were at youth camp. We were in Rocky Ridge Ranch. Some of you went there as kids, and it's a horrible room. It's like the acoustics are so bad in the room. And we're playing, some worship music, and we were singing and worshiping God. And there's 35 or 40 of us in the room. And all of a sudden, there was 1,000 voices in the room. It was like the angels that were in the room. I never experienced anything like it before. It was so powerful, so amazing. God's presence came in and touched people's lives in such powerful and wonderful ways. As I said a couple weeks ago, I remember the time was after youth camp, and we were back at the church, and it was a Sunday night, and we were trying to, have an evening service. And during the worship, I just felt so moved by the presence of God. I just bowed down on my knees on the ground. And I just felt like if I move, I'm going to die. I don't know how to explain it. It wasn't I was afraid of God. It just felt like there was just such a powerful presence of God in the room. Like my son was 3 or 4 at the time, Levi, and he just knelt down beside me. He said, "What is that, Dad?" But it was a powerful presence of God. Well, that was a long time ago. It was beautiful. I still remember it. I still, whenever I'm thinking about it, really, I could just feel the presence of God while I'm talking about it this morning. But that isn't good enough for today. That was yesterday. That's what God did yesterday. But today, this day, Sunday, April the 28th, at Jubilee this morning, God wants to touch you. Are you hungry? Are you really hungry? Is there a need in your heart for God that needs to be filled today? Because He wants to fill it. I want to read you a scripture. This is David talking. And he says in Psalm 84, verse 1 and on, "How lovely are your tabernacles, O Jehovah of hosts. My soul longs, yet even faints, for the courts of Jehovah. My heart and my flesh shout for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow has found a house and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Your altars, O Jehovah of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will praise you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. Your ways are in their hearts. Passing through the valley of weeping, they will make it a fountain. The early rain also covers it with blessing. They go from strength to strength, appearing in Zion." When was the last time that your soul longed and even fainted for the presence of God? When was the last time? In Psalm 63, David says, "O God, you are my God. I will seek you earnestly. My soul thirst for you, my flesh longs for you, as in a dry and thirsty land where there's no water. So I have seen you in the holy place, seeing your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips." There's a song that we used to sing. And it went, "Stir it up in our hearts, Lord, stir it up in our hearts." A passion for your name. And it was asking God to stir up in our hearts. And I think in a lot of ways that that's not a really scriptural song. because I think that the responsibility for stirring it up is with us. I think the responsibility for building a hunger is with us. The responsibility for identifying hunger is with us. The responsibility that God has is to fill. And this morning, God wants to fill you. And I want to invite you. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. I'm going to pray. And this morning, if you want, you could stay in your pew. You could come forward. You could do whatever you want. But what I want you to do is, if you want to have an encounter with, if you just want to meet with God this morning, the qualification for that is hunger and thirst. And not just like, well, I could use a snack, but a hunger that says, I'm hungry. I need this filled. I need you, God. I need you so bad. I'm going to ask the worship team to sing as long as it takes, whatever. I just want you to take your time, be in here, wait on God. If you have to leave, go ahead and leave. It's fine. No one's going to look down on you. But don't hang out in here and talk. If you want, and if you want to just spend some time with God and just waiting on Him, we're just going to take some time and just be quiet before God and allow God to touch us, fill us. And when we're done, you can go. And there's going to be coffee out there. There's going to be everything like normal. But just, you know, don't run away real quick. Take some time and just sit in the presence of God and let Him fill you. If you're not hungry, start thinking about God. The Bible says in Psalm 34, open your mouth and taste. Open your eyes and see how good God is. Blessed are you who run to Him. Worship God if you want the best. Worship opens doors to all His goodness. Young lions on the prowl get hungry, but God's seekers are full of God. Lord, we just come today, and Lord, I just say, Lord, we're a people that are really hungry and desperate for You. So Lord, today I just pray as people, Lord, linger for a while. Lord, just wait on You for a while. Lord, that You would fill them by the power of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, just a real work of Your Holy Spirit in each one of our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.